Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
It's Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton and Mark Halleck.
What's up?
All in the same room. I'm Dan Hurst.
We are live and in person in these podcasts.
Yeah.
We do not do them via the internet.
I think that's important for folks to know.
I do too.
I mean, we're committed to this.
We are here.
We fly around the country to be together.
We come in one room and we do this face to face to face.
I wish you could be here between the podcasts.
Yes.
Just
because they're really better than the podcast, which
just
isn't saying a whole lot.
Conversations.
I know.
So, do we have notes for this?
We're just winging it.
Okay.
No, here it is.
Oh.
No, I gave it to you already.
You did?
I think so. I thought I handed it.
Oh,
there
it is. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Again.
So, we're real organized.
We are. This is Dr. Chuck Lawless. 10 things, Mr. Hurst. What's it say?
Well, I'm kind of looking forward to this.
Uh-huh.
Because I thought as soon as I heard this, I thought, what a great idea.
I know.
10 things I'd ask an exit interview when church members leave.
That's right. So think about it. When members leave your church, and they do, and they will, some of them leave for a very obvious reason. We are moving across the country for a job,
mm-hmm.
right? Some of them leave for a not so obvious reason. We just feel called to go someplace else, whatever. Do you have an official way to do exit interviews? Or you just sort of move on down the road? Mm-hmm. Well, they've gone. You know what? They are your sheep.
Yeah.
I love what Henry Blackaby said, man. You know, a shepherd cares for the sheep. A shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after the one. A shepherd just doesn't let a sheep wander off from the fold and go, mm-hmm. well, that one's gone. I mean, you can't do that.
No, that's
right. You get people who leave your church. And, you know, it's important for you to ask them, why are you leaving?
Yeah.
And if you know they're moving, it's important you to talk to that sheep. You're still their shepherd.
Yeah.
You're responsible for them. And I haven't done this very often. Most of the time when someone leaves my church, I'm going to be frank about it. If they're not moving physically to another place and they just say, you know, Mark, I really feel like God's called us to First Baptist or to Calvary Baptist, or maybe there's something there for our children. I kind of take that personal.
Sure.
I shouldn't,
but
it hurts. You take it personal. You've invested time and energy with these folks.
Yep.
You never forget the people who leave your church.
Yeah.
And then when they do leave and they go to the new church and then they post on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter what a great church it is and how much they love the preaching, you go, well, you never posted that about me.
Like a sucker punch. I know.
But I think it's important for us to say, even in their departure, as they arrive, hopefully you're giving them shepherding care. As they leave, give them shepherding care.
Yeah.
And it does two things. It lets them know you care for them and helps you guide them in their exit. But also, Mark and Dan, you learn from them.
That's right.
Some really important things about your ministry and your church.
Yep.
So,
and I think it's important to know, don't put this on them. Most of the time, in all my years of ministry, very few people who leave are going to tell you why they're leaving.
Explain that.
In other words, I think, I hate to say it, but you know, you said it well. I think as pastors, our feelings get hurt, for being honest, when people leave.
Yeah.
And I think the truth is the awkwardness of the conversation, I don't think a lot of times they want to hurt our feelings.
Right.
And so what happens is we just kind of both look the other way and sheep drift away. And so what I would say is don't get angry with, you know, because I'm like, well, they didn't even tell us why they're leaving. What's going on?
Right.
I would say as the shepherd, you got to go after the sheep and lean into the awkward of this deal and ask some questions. You know, out of love for them. And it's like what you said, Mark, part of it is I want to help those who leave our church get connected to a healthy congregation. I want to do at least before the Lord, because I'm held accountable to that.
And where would you do this, by the way?
I mean, I would do it over lunch or coffee.
Very informally.
Yeah, very informally.
Just say, hey, Mark,
get together.
You guys are leaving the church. You've already left. I've enjoyed being your pastor.
Yep.
Hey, could you and I get together tomorrow for some coffee? Just want to say how much I appreciate you and
pick your brain on a few things.
Say goodbye to you and have some closure.
Yep.
And then the first question, these are 10 questions. You can find them on our show notes. They come from Dr. Chuck Lawless. These are nothing that you wouldn't expect. They're not out of the ordinary, but they're important for us to make sure we cover. Number one, ask them why they came to your church in the first place.
Mm.
You know, what was it about our church that drew you here, that the Lord used to bring you here?
Yeah.
What was it about it? And that's good for you to hear.
It is.
It's also for the good for them to remember.
Yeah.
As they're leaving this church, it's good for them to recall there was a time when they really felt called here, especially if they're not moving geographically, if they're just going to another church in town. Right.
Yes.
Okay? Number two, Mark.
Number two is, how often did you attend and or participate in church? And so part of this is, hopefully you have a pretty good idea already, but...
Yeah, you don't know that.
I don't know.
You want their self-perception.
Yeah.
You just say, hey, you know, Mark, I really enjoyed having your family here. You know, how involved were you really? How often did you really, Ken? What was your kind of regular schedule like?
Yeah, Lala says it might be that this person actually left long before he or she actually did.
Exactly.
And I think you want to know that. And I would even lovingly push in on that.
They might say, well, you know, we used to come pretty regularly, but you know, Pastor, in the last few months, it's only been, you know, a few times.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a way of sort of discovering that, right?
Yeah. We were in a community. I mean, you should never know. We were in a community group. You push into that. Well, what happened? Well, about 3 months ago, to be honest, yeah. We were in a small group at home, and so-and-so hurt my wife's feelings. Right. And it's been really difficult for us to... And that's what's hard as a pastor. You say, well, boy, I wish I would have known that, you know?
Right.
But, and who knows? You may be able to, I mean, I've had a lot of conversations. Let me just say this. I'm hijacking this, but where as the pastor, someone that's on their way out, but because of this conversation, I was able to say, to do whatever, hey, can we bring some restoration here and reconciliation?
Right.
And they end up not leaving.
Yeah, that's right.
And so that's another piece of this, of why I think it's so important.
Thirdly, did you really feel connected to our church? Was there a time when you really felt this was your church family?
Yeah.
And they may tell you, no, it never really felt that way. And that's important for you to know for a variety of reasons.
Especially depending on how many years they've been there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's worth knowing. You can't just assume that everybody feels connected.
Yeah.
You've got to know that. And basically, if they're leaving, and especially if they're leaving, just going to another church in town, chances are they didn't feel connected.
Because
if they did, they would probably still be there.
Yeah.
That's what he says. Number four, were you ever involved in any kind of small group? And if so, which one?
Yeah.
Part of this, guys, you want to know, especially the people who aren't moving geographically, I would imagine that the percentage of those people who leave your church, if they are involved in a small group, it's much less than those who are not involved.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
So that's what Chuck is getting at here. You know, people who are engaged in some small group in your church are going to be a lot more less likely to leave than those who are not.
Yep.
And so you'd want to know that.
Well, and it could be then saying, hey, look, at your next church, I would really encourage you to get involved in a small group. I think you'll feel more connected.
And these are good. This is a good question to ask to give you some input. What did you like most about our Sunday morning gathering? And then what did you like least about it?
Yeah.
And that's really good insight for you to know what people are really feeling fulfilled when they come to your Sunday morning gathering and what leaves them lacking. So it's a great, here's the deal. If they're leaving, it's the one time they really can to be honest with you about that, right?
Yeah.
If you go to somebody who's a member of your church, you say, hey, Dan, tell me what you like about Sunday morning. He may say something. Tell me what you don't like. But if they're leaving, they can be totally honest with you. And as a pastor, you really need that information.
Yeah. Even if it doesn't feel good, you want to hear it.
If you've had these previous questions already, you've already broken the ice.
Right.
So now you're really getting honest.
And that's
a great question.
Yeah,
thanks.
So, you know, Pastor, we did enjoy your preaching, or we enjoyed this, but man, some of the music was really off-putting, or people weren't terribly friendly, or, you know, on Sunday morning, I didn't feel like we were very engaged with that. Variety of things. So we spent too much time on announcements. There wasn't enough time in prayer.
Yeah.
A lot of things.
We're looking for more passionate worship. Exactly. We feel like people, it could be a number of things.
It really was. And then, do you have one primary reason why you're leaving? Again, you swerved into it, Mark, at the beginning of this podcast. Many times they're not honest with you about why they're leaving.
Yeah.
They don't really give you a solid answer. And I think if you're having coffee with this guy and you're sort of engaged in this conversation, you can look him in the eye and say, look, I really need to know this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not... Yeah. I'm not going to take it personally.
Yeah, yeah. It's okay.
But tell me, why is your family really leaving? Is there more to it than just you want to go somewhere where there's some other stuff for your kids?
Yep.
Is there something else here I need to know about?
Well, I've got to tell you, a few years ago, we did a survey and the idea, the impetus behind this was that 60% of your people don't come to church, right? I mean, that's rule of thumb. I mean, their members, they don't come to church, or occasionally maybe, once in a while. And that 60% at one point took the time to join your church. They wanted to be a part of your church. There was something there. And so we made a survey and sent it out to that 60%. And asked them a number of different questions. And one of the questions was, why did you feel, or why was it that you just didn't feel like coming back? And we tried to be as gentle with the questions and not accusatory or anything like that. We really wanted the answers.
Yeah.
The thing that amazed me the most about that survey was that 40% of the people that said the reason they didn't come back to church was when they needed somebody, they weren't there.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
And you know, that's, and as a pastor,
yeah,
that crushes you.
Oh, yeah.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that if we talked about this at lunch today, Mark and I were talking at lunch, Dan, you were here working, but we went to eat lunch. And when Dan and I were kids, and Mark didn't grow up Southern Baptist and is a third of our age, but he was amazed that when we were kids, we would have Sunday school and morning worship. Then we would have church training, mm-hmm, and evening worship, except we'd also have an hour of youth choir before church training.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd have 5 o'clock youth choir, 6 o'clock youth training, 7 o'clock worship. Then on Wednesday nights, we'd have our missions organizations, RAs and GAs, and then prayer meeting, and then we would have adult choir practice afterward.
Mm-hmm.
So we started adding all that up. That's seven, eight hours of different group times. Today, a lot of our people only come to gathered worship.
That's right.
1 hour a month, 1 hour and a half a week.
Yep.
And many of them only come twice a month.
That's right. That's it. 50%.
So how do you develop relationships and closeness in, you know, those two events two times a month?
Yeah.
And so the fact that people are not connecting together and they feel like they're not being served, mm-hmm, is because they're not connected.
Mm-hmm.
They, people don't even know who they are. They're not even part of the fabric of the church because they feel like, well, I come to church on Sunday morning, maybe every other Sunday or something. So different than it used to be. I'm not suggesting we go back to that many hours in the building, but I am suggesting by the time you were in, you had a Sunday school class and a church training class and RAs and GAs and Brotherhood and WMU and youth choir and children's choir, you were connected somewhere.
Yeah.
People knew who you were. Someone in those groups knew if you went in the hospital, if your husband became sick. But if you just show up on Sunday morning, you know, one out of every three Sunday mornings and walk in and sit down and leave, you're right. Nobody is going to know who you are and necessarily if you've been sick or if you've been in the hospital or that kind of thing.
Don't you think there's somewhat of a responsibility that each church member has and
absolutely,
that we as pastors need to lean into that.
Yes.
You have a responsibility to know the people that sit around you.
Absolutely, man. I mean, that's what I keep thinking. I'm like, and don't be afraid, pastor, to say, hey, look, at our church, we expect everybody to put forth some effort. I mean, you know, I mean, part of this is going, look, if we're going to be a family, it's like any family. Family takes work.
Yeah.
And if you're not interested in that, this probably isn't the church for you. But community takes work. It takes effort. You know what I mean? And it's like, because here's what I know. A lot of us do work really hard to provide environments, whether it's small groups or classes or whatever. And when you hear somebody say, well, I couldn't get connected, I want to say, well, did you really put forth effort? I mean, what did you go to? Were you committed to it?
Right.
And so again, in a culture where we are most committed to being non-committal, I think this is a discipleship issue, quite frankly. And I think it's something as pastors we have to lean into and create cultures in our churches where there is an expectation that you show up. I mean, Clifton's telling me that. I'm like, dude, that's 7 to 8 different environments a week.
Yeah, that you would connect to.
And so I just think our expectations also are so low. I think we've got to actually raise the bar.
Right.
maybe not that high, obviously. I mean, that's just, but I mean, again, to expect people to be in worship, and we would say here at Calvary, one other environment a week, I don't think is asking too much if you're a sold-out disciple of Jesus Christ.
Well, and beyond that, just beyond those times when you're together, for people to have the responsibility to connect.
Yeah.
You know, a phone call, or, you know, a card, whatever.
Yeah. Anything, yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about 10 questions to ask members as an exit interview. Number one, why did you come here in the first place? Number two, how often did you attend or participate? Number three, did you ever really feel connected? Number four, were you involved in a small group? Number five, what did you appreciate most about Sunday morning gathering? What did you appreciate the least? Number six, what's the real reason you're leaving? Number seven, what's the one thing the church must do to become a better church? That's the question we're all at now.
Hmm.
If there was just one thing, Mark, as you're leaving this church, what's the one thing we could do? And Mark, I want you to be totally honest with me.
Yep.
I know you're leaving. We got nothing. There's no dog in this fight anymore. Help me out as the pastor.
Help me grow. Help us grow.
Tell me the one thing. I'm ready to hear it.
And that's a great question.
It is a great question. Yep. And you need to receive that with all the honesty that they give it.
Yep. And I guarantee you they have an answer.
They got an answer on the tip of their tongue.
Oh, yeah.
That's one they can answer very quickly.
That's right.
Number nine, are you already attending or another church or congregation?
Number eight.
Yeah, let's go to eight.
Oh, excuse me.
No, it's okay.
Let's switch the numbers so that nobody's confused.
Okay, number eight. We'll do number eight. Say I just did number eight. What's the one? Are you already attending another church? You want to know if they're attending already.
Yeah.
Have you started dating before we got broke up? Is that what you...
And usually the case is true. I mean, because again, we'll follow up and guys, and it's usually dating. It's usually, we're checking out some other churches.
Exactly.
It's like, okay.
Yeah.
We don't know for sure yet if we love Calvary, but we're checking out some other church. Okay. Let's have a define the relationship conversation.
Because if they tell you they're leaving, but they have not visited any other churches, this is where the reality that Mark, you talked about it a moment ago, you might have the opportunity to bring them back in.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Now, that's not the reason for this interview.
Yeah.
Okay? You don't want to use it for that reason. But if you say, well, after all these things, are you visiting another church? Yeah. No, we haven't checked one out yet. That may be an open door for
you that's a good
to
point.
Say, you know, I appreciate everything you've shared me. Maybe we can help you find what you need here.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if they say they are looking and they have been going, you want to ask them, well, what have you found?
Yeah.
How has that spoken to
They're
you?
Usually checked out at that point, to be honest.
They usually
if
have.
If they've been checking out other churches.
Have. Yeah. They have. Yeah. In fact, what I've noticed in, goodness, the last three churches that I've been in, that if you have a special program, like it's the kids' choir is going to be doing the program, or you're going to have a special speaker or something like that, notice who doesn't come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there's a pretty good chance, and I discovered this, that a lot of them are checking out another church.
Yeah, they're looking someplace else.
Because that's an excuse to go check something else
right.
out.
Right, yeah, that's true.
Okay, so number nine, what is the one thing you think this church ought to keep doing that we're doing?
To keep doing.
End it on positive
note. Yeah.
What's the one thing we should keep doing that we are doing? And then finally, man, how can we all pray for you as you leave?
Yeah.
You know, that's an interesting question because it shows a commitment beyond the time frame. Okay, we're gone, so we're not going to pray for you anymore.
No, we're going to keep praying for you as you leave. Yeah.
I think that's an important
statement. So, Pastor, I hope you'll take this to heart and begin to have some exit interviews. It'll teach you a lot about why people are leaving. It'll also show those folks that even though they're leaving, you still care for them. And they're still important to you.
Let me say one more thing, I say amen to that. Here's what also you got to remember. If you are a pastor that's seeking to be faithful, love your church, love your community for the long haul, if you help people exit well, don't be surprised if they come back.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised if people, and what you want is to leave that door wide open so that they won't feel ashamed to come back or... So, you know, I've seen it many times. You go somewhere else for 5-6 years, something tragedy strikes, you realize, boy, I'll tell you what, our true friends are back at that church.
You know
church.
What? You bring up, you know, I have had many experiences where they have come back.
Yeah, totally. Me too.
I, now that I think about that, they have. And some of them I didn't really want back, to be frank. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Drive safe. We'll see you later.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.